2012. We're on with Frosty Wooldridge. Frosty, let's pick that right up there where you we left off, and that is what happens when the government runs out of money and the EBT cards are no longer honored. And we have this, we evolve a permanent underclass in this country that's never going to be able to live and survive on their own by the fruits of their own labor. So what you were talking about societal breakdown, how is that going to look? How is that going to manifest itself?
Well, it's going to manifest itself in first of all, we're going to have a completely a cyclical class of poverty, which you see in places like India and China and Bangladesh and Mexico, where there's no chance to get out of it, and there's no chance to better yourself. And so you're going to have that aspect of cyclical poverty. And with that cyclical poverty, you're going to have illiteracy. And again, as I've said in the past, and I want to make this very clear, all third world countries, those that are mired in all of this poverty, you would think with here we are in the 21st century, the United States, Europe, Australia, and all these other countries are doing extremely well, the Western countries, Canada, with the Western thinking and with Western education. Japan is a good example, just a brilliant society doing very, very well. France doing very well. Germany doing very well. UK doing very well. But look how they're degrading. Not Japan. Japan does not immigrate anyone into its midst. It does not allow immigration. But you see every country that is allowing mass immigration from the third world is degrading and deforming. And the reason for that is because of cultural paradigms. Cultural paradigms are dictated by, again, the religions that maintain them and the illiteracy that sustains those paradigms. And that's, you would think that in Africa, why don't the Africans, like in Somalia, have lots of food? Why don't they just copy what we have here? Why doesn't the Congo and Ethiopia and Kenya and Sudan and Morocco and Egypt, why don't they just copy what we're doing in the Western world? Well, it's because of cultural poverty, religious poverty, and those paradigms that are dominant. And again, what is the dominant aspect? And that is illiteracy. So as we continue to bring more of that into our country, you can bring everyone over to America, but you can't change the cultural paradigm, the illiteracy paradigm, and the lack of educational ability with them, because they don't have it.
Frosty, you look at the past several hundred years with the missionary movement, where white Christians went around the world and tried to upgrade, to uplift how the indigenous populations lived by giving them modern techniques of agriculture, for instance, and introducing them to modern concepts, are there concepts of religion, etc. And it's been an abject failure. Look at Zimbabwe, that was a first world country with white rule. They removed the white rule and it went straight back to where it was, only worse than where it was in its tribal state. How come these things fail? Why don't they work? And what is the answer?
Well, again, the reason they don't work is because those cultural paradigms and that illiteracy cannot sustain the advanced cultures and the advanced kinds of educational excellence, and so they just can't keep up with it. Okay, and so what has to happen in those countries is you have to let those countries be as they are. Evolution, intellectual evolution, cultural evolution takes decades and centuries. We didn't just all of a sudden have the United States of America evolve from a horse and buggy era. Well, those countries are going to have to be allowed to work on their own evolution and not try to force it on them, because it simply is not tenable to do that.
Okay, there's our music in the background. We'll be right back.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural ColonFlow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. ColonFlow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is Mike Harris on the Public Broadcasting Network with Frosty Wooldridge on Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. Frosty, before the break, we were talking about the cultural ability to adapt. And it seems like certain segments of the global population, their culture is not compatible with what the Western paradigm is. And they're showing an inability to adapt to that culture. Is that...
Well, that's correct. We're actually immigrating Somalians into this country, Bantu Somalians. You're seeing the results of them and what they're doing in places like Lewiston, Maine, in New Hampshire, where the young boys are raping the white girls because that's their norm. I don't know who thought or why they thought we could bring in bamboo tribes or tribal people that literally didn't have the wheel. They didn't have the wheel. They have never used a toilet, a lavatory, or taken a shower. And then we inject them into this country. And the Lutheran Church has been doing that for the last 30, 40 years now. And so we have all of these really tribal people that are completely unable to adapt other than take welfare checks and live in housing that's already paid for into this country. What was the point of that? How did we think we were going to improve?
Frosty, you brought up a really good point here, and there's always been this debate about nature versus nurture in the development of human potential, and I don't believe that one is dominant over the other. I think that they're both influential, but you have to have the foundation, you have to have the the genetic foundation within a person in order to adapt to the localized culture, if you will. And a lot of these, you know, they've not evolved. And how do we catch them up? Is it possible to uplift them? Are we just wasting our time?
Well, unfortunately, I'm an educator. I'm a math and science teacher. And in my classrooms, we, of course, you have IQ checks and you have IQ tests for children. The unfortunate reality is if somebody has a 60 IQ, you cannot teach them calculus. It's impossible. It's like trying to make a Volkswagen with a 40 horsepower engine race in a Formula One racing at 150 or 200 miles an hour kind of race. You can't do it. And so that Volkswagen is left on the track, or it gets smashes up the other cars, or it limps along. It cannot compete. It cannot stay with. The only thing you can do is put it into the median field there and take care of it, because it can't take care of itself. It can't race with the other Formula One cars. Well, individuals that are of a culture that has the ability only to have educational levels, say, read, write, and do simple math and work its hands, pick crops, in other words, or clean up a Marriott hotel room or so forth, that's the tragedy that we're doing. We're importing people who cannot do much more than essentially be a 21st century slave class in this country, and that's a great tragedy, because it's demeaning. There's no chance for them to break loose or break out. But at the same time, it's impoverishing our own citizens who don't have and have not the intellectual levels, certainly the educational levels. The last time I was on the show, I repeated that 68% of African American children are brought up by single mothers. Well, the latest figure on that now is 72% of African American children are brought up by single mothers, and 99.9% of them are on welfare. You have to ask yourself, how far down this rat hole do we want to go, where we are we're supporting all of this poverty and illiteracy, and how far do we want to go into it?
How do we break that? And how do we break this established way of being? It's within a culture. We've got a welfare mentality in this country that we have to help the poor. How do we break that, and how do we make this benefit? How do we do the most good for the most people?
Well, that's an excellent question, Mike. And of course, the first answer to that is stop importing 3.1 million immigrants into this country every year, so that we can actually attack the problem and move into and use the money. We've got to stop the two wars we've got going on. We've got to stop the massive military-industrial complex and all the money. I mean, the money that goes into the military is just beyond phenomenal. If we just simply injected it into our country, into our educational systems, we could actually change the climate of this country. We could even educate the simplest of people in this country that have limited intellectual capacity, and we can move toward jobs for them by having basic intellectual levels and standards that we can reach.
Frosty, we have a caller holding, but before we take the call, Mark will be with you in a moment, so bear with us. But we for the last 50 years, about the time this Immigration Reform Act of 65 came along, mm-hmm. there was an emphasis away from vocationing and towards everyone going into a liberal arts education. Everyone had to go to college now. But, you know, not everybody is suited for college, and we've abandoned that portion of our population and have failed to give them an education where they can make a good living for themselves doing honorable work. And we keep trying to push people into college, and that's why we have the high dropout rate. I think there's a direct cause and effect.
Well, there certainly is. There's no question that we don't, college students have to have a minimal IQ of between 115 and 120. The average IQ in this country is 100, and so that's why only between 20 and 25% of Americans have a college degree. because there simply it takes a lot of brain power to graduate from college, or at least graduate in majors that are viable majors. You're seeing the dumbing down of even colleges today. You've got African American studies, you've got Latino studies, you've got basket weaving, you've got physics, so forth.
Frost, you're flirting with the issue, which is the topic of the book, The Bell Curve.
Yes, and, Bell Curve, I've read it.
And that even goes into further differences, that there's racial differences in IQ, et cetera. And that's a topic for another day. I don't want to touch that one today.
Okay, fine.
But that one comes into a different point where, you know, you look at the disparity in IQ average, and then the liberal establishment blames that on the test, not on the people who take the test, which is what I think is an interesting denial of fact. And how can you address problems if you don't address them factually and make data-driven decisions?
Well, that's like the liberal establishment has been pushing multiculturalism and diversity as if it's a positive, and obviously it has been a negative in every country that's attempted it. It's a negative in this country. It is not working. It can't work. It won't work. And yet you have the academics and the elites who are way above it espouse it. And I've seen it myself in other countries, and I've certainly seen it in this country. I taught in the inner city for several years. It's a scam. It is a scam to pretending that we can have all of this equality. What we really have is an equality of opportunity. But now that we are dumbing down the educational systems, we're actually making our whole country dumber.
Well, it's results-oriented outcomes versus a meritocracy. And we need, if we're going to be competitive in a first-world environment, we need to be based on merit, not based on a predetermined outcome. But we've had a very patient caller holding. Let me welcome him on. Mark from Vancouver, how are you, sir? Do you have a question for Frosty?
Appreciate your show very much, and Frosty, all the work you've done over the years, appreciate. I've heard you many times.
Thank you.
One thing I want to raise is the fact Africa, the IMF, all these programs that have impoverished that whole continent. And then a good example, you were talking about South America. Look what they did to Argentina. That was a wealthy, prosperous nation. And when the banking and the corporations went in there and just basically raped the country, they made that country into the poverty that's there and the dictatorships that the American system, not blaming American people, but the corporations, even Canada, has sold out all our rights. We're even selling our water rights here to these massive corporations, our oil rights. When they signed NAFTA up here, they just completely gave up the right to our resource. We're paying more for fuel than Americans do, and yet we could be self-sufficient here. So there's a lot of issues with that whole corporations, the banking system, how it's impoverished and set up dictatorships around the world that have totally benefited a tiny percentage of the population, and the rest starve. That's all I wanted you to comment on that, Frosty, to add that to the mix.
Well, Mark, thanks for the call. Let me drop you off with the Frosty response, okay? Thank you.
Oh, you know, that's an outstanding comment, and thank you from Canada. And boy, oh boy, I have lived in Canada, and I have traveled through all the Canadian provinces, in fact, every one of them, and I've seen Canada for the last 40 years. I saw it go from a fantastically solid country with only 25 million people, and I think it's now around 35 or 36 million. It has been importing 250,000 people every year. And Canada is known as the biggest little country in the world, kind of like Australia. And let me, I'll talk about that on the other side of this interview.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
It's Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012, for Alma Frosty Woldridge. And Frosty, before you left, you were talking about Canada and Australia being the smallest little countries in the world, but they're very large land masses.
If you look at Australia, and I've cycled around the entire perimeter of Australia, 17,000 kilometers, cooked my butt in a saddle. You can name it. I've seen Australia. It's 96% desert. So it's a huge country, but it's already struggling with only, it's got 21 million Australians right now. It has the same problem that Canada has. It's taking on a massive immigrant load. It's changing its culture. It's changing its language. It's changing its sustainability to non-sustainability. And they think, well, we've got a big country here. Well, the big country doesn't make any difference if you don't have water. And Australia, of course, is a big country, a big little country that doesn't have water. Now, with Canada, again, as I said, is a big little country. It has a very short growing season, and whether it has all this energy or otherwise, it's the units that it takes to manifest the energy. When oil first started popping up, we took one energy unit to get 20 or 50 or 100 energy units out of the ground. Now we're taking two or 10 units of energy to get one or two energy units out of the ground. And that's going to continue get worse and worse as this century continues. At some point, there will not be the energy, whether it's natural gas or whether it's oil energy, the peak oil. And if you want to validate that, Richard Heinberg has written a book called Peak Everything, Facing a Century of Declines. That alone is a book that I've reviewed myself and read. It's very powerful, and you have to understand that Canada simply does not have the ability to feed this massive population. Does Canada want another 50 million people, or does Canada want 100 million people? And what's the point of that? I mean, where will you go with 100 million people in Canada, and what are you going to do with them when you don't have the food to feed them, or you don't have the environment?
Let me ask you another question, because you bring up interesting points here.
Sure.
And so far, every country you've named has been a Western country.
Right.
You've got the situation in Europe, everything from Italy all the way up to Norway.
Right.
We've got the U.S., we have Canada, we have Australia. These are the Western countries where people
right.
want to immigrate to. But no one immigrates to China. No one immigrates to Japan. No one immigrates to Africa. Why is that? What is the magnet that draws them here? Or is they're not drawn to other first world economies like Japan, like China, but they want to come here instead? What's the difference? What makes this attractive versus those other economies?
Well, because those other countries are so overloaded, so overpopulated. And first of all, Japan won't allow anybody, and neither will China. And I don't think India allows any immigration either. But why would you want to immigrate into a 1.2 billion person misery of India or China with a 1.3 billion? The fact is you would have no opportunities. You don't have any choices. And those are mono-ethnic societies. They just simply won't tolerate immigration. And the fact is that all these Western countries that everybody wants to immigrate to have a 2.0 or 1.5 to 2.0 replacement birth rate, fertility rate. And so they've been stable civilizations. Europe has got like 1.3 to 1.6 fertility rate, and that's why they're so rich and have opportunities, and they have the ability to have, you know, sustainable societies. Of course, those that are overrunning their civilizations and outrunning them, essentially, I don't know if you know it or not, but the Pacific Rim has a $7 billion a year people smuggling because people are smuggling out of China. In fact, America has over 2 million illegal Chinese in this country. And I did that in my research for my book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion. But those countries that are overloaded, their people are struggling to get over here where we're not overloaded. But here's the quote that I think is the most important one of all, and it brings this thing into real sharp focus. And this quote is this, and it's by a man that I know. His name is Dr. Otis Graham. He wrote Unguarded Gates. And I'm quoting, "Most Western elites continue urging the wealthy West not to stem the migrant tide that adds 80 million net gain annually to the planet, but to absorb our global brothers and sisters until their horrid ordeal has been endured and shared by all. 10 billion humans packed onto an ecologically devastated planet," unquote. That pretty much answers it for you right there. The Western elites, those who don't understand carrying capacity,
who are these elites? And if they're elite, they're supposed to be the best and the brightest. Of
right.
course they understand it, but they're choosing to ignore it.
Right.
And I've got a couple other questions for you. I've got a caller hold. I'll have to hold for a minute. But first I had a listener send an email in
yep.
who wants me to ask you, why is there no such things as legal anchor babies? Surely this affects you.
Why is there no such thing as legal anchor babies? As you all know, I've written about anchor babies along with a nurse that dealt with them, and the series is a four-part series on newswithviews.com. Every human being obviously wants to live and be sustained on this planet. And the anchor baby situation right now between 300,000 and 400,000 per year. We'll go into that as soon as we come back from the...
And after that, we'll take Jim from Fort Worth. We'll be right back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Network. We're on with Foster Wooldridge, and today is January 3rd, 2012. So, Foster, you're going to finish your point you were making before the break.
Well, again, what we don't, or we're not, let me just bring Canada's situation back into the forefront. I would really recommend that you all go to Tim Murray's work, T-I-M-M-U-R-R-A-Y. He lives in B.C., he's got a website. It's called Thinking Lifeboat at blogspot.com. Thinking Lifeboat at blogspot.com. He also has another one called biodiversityfirst.googlepages.com. There are several organizations. Madeline Weld is part of the Immigration Watch there in Canada. But Canada is literally being flooded by the elites and by the bio, the diversity people and the multiculturalistic people, so much so that Canada is literally being very quickly, not slowly, but very quickly transformed into a polyglot society where there are so many languages that everybody is fighting and confused about everything. You now have honor killings there in Canada. You certainly have arranged marriages going on in Canada. You have women's rights being completely overrun by the new Islamic Canadians that are really manifesting themselves. You've got unbelievable welfare going on in Canada. Canada is in the same boat that we're in right now. It is accepting massive amounts of immigrants from around the world, and these immigrants are simply destroying the foundation of the sustainability of Canada, as well as its language and its culture and its way of life. It just cannot continue. And now that the beast is inside the belly, essentially, Canada is in a lot of trouble, much like what's happening to Australia. And again, as I've said, these Western countries have been very responsible with their birth rates, and they have maintained sustainable societies, but now are getting overloaded.
Brings up another point. When we have a caller hold, I'll take him next, but first I want to get this in. At the end of World War II, the Caucasian population of the world was approximately 32%.
Right.
And now that's dropped down to about 8% of the total global population,
right,
with only 2% of that being women of childbearing years. And the white race is headed for extinction, it appears.
Well, the white race obviously is a diminishing race, ethnic group. Caucasians are going to be in the minority in this country by 2040 to 2045, so that's a blink in time also. But also, as these other ethnic tribes grow, and again, as I said, as the educational propensities diminish, this country and its culture and the American way of life will be a fleeting fantasy from 1950 through 2010, essentially, because we're all going to be struggling, whether we're white, black, brown, yellow, or red, we're all going to be struggling just to feed ourselves. We're going to be struggling just to keep water and to have any kind of transportation. I know many of you have seen the Indians on the trains, and you've seen those trains, or you've seen pictures on the internet of the cars or the trucks that are overloaded in India with just massive amounts of people. The trains just completely overwhelmed, people standing on top of the trains and being, well, that's what India is all about. It's an overpopulated country. And so there's no way to change that. And the poverty is endemic or systemic. And so you're going to see the same thing happen in this country. And as for the whites, they're going to diminish to such a point. But my suspicion is, if you look at the demographics of the America right now, you see that most cities have Hispanic sections, they have white sections, and they have black sections. So what you're going to see is more and more separation as these tribes mingle among themselves and go toward themselves, and you're going to see more whites moving toward places like North and South Dakota and Wisconsin and so forth. And they're going to try to separate themselves because that's just what's going to happen.
Well, it's like Germany's multiculturalism is a failure, and we've had a caller, Jim, holding for some time. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm an inventor designer, and I have two or three low tech innovations that will solve most of the problems that you've outlined about Easter Island. The reason they throw down the trees is to cook with them. It's because they use a pizza-type oven that uses so much wood. I have a product that you might call green. It's made from scrap, expanded polystyrene in Portland, that will not only build houses that are totally insulated, but it'll allow an oven to be made cheaply and quickly that we use about 5% of the wood. I'd like to mention India. India has a vast effort to create water from the atmosphere. That'll solve that problem. I have a solution for
Jim, we're not human. Here to promote your products today. We have a guest on.
Just hold on. Okay. I said that to handle the excrement problem, the sewage problem, we spend a lot of money and time bringing chemicals to soil. I contend that if you bury this material that I just outlined, the excrement, you have no need to fertilize, and it makes use of it, and it doesn't contaminate the water. I believe that Frosty is a eugenicist. I'm ashamed.
That's not correct. You cannot. I have never advocated eugenics ever. I've never advocated abortion ever. So don't make your assumptions some kind of reality. They are not. I will not tolerate that, and I will not tolerate you saying that I am not and have never, ever been a eugenics advocate whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, Frosty, that guest is no longer with us.
I want to make. I want to. I really. I don't like people. I really hate people really coming at me from that particular angle because I have always advocated for free choice. I have never advocated for abortion. I've never advocated for eugenics, and that is not acceptable. In the final analysis, and now this guy is starting to make all these solving of so forth. In the end, you can't solve any of it if you continue to grow population. Population cannot continue. As a matter of fact, Lester Brown, a man I've met, and also he wrote the book Plan B 4.0, Saving Civilization, said, and I'm quoting, "The world has set in motion environmental trends that are threatening civilization itself. We are crossing environmental thresholds and violating deadlines set by nature. Nature is the timekeeper, but we cannot see the clock. I don't care who you are or what you've invented or what you think is going to work. In the final analysis, the only way to solve humanity's 21st century dilemma is to stabilize population to remain in the carrying capacity of the land and the planet itself. This is a finite planet. Human beings can't keep growing."
You just brought up a unique set of points. And, you know, we accept that we do have a finite planet. It's got a certain amount of land mass. It's got a certain amount of fresh water. We have to make those last. But, you know, we were talking earlier, and I'm going to circle back on you here, but we've got human beings. We have approximately 7 billion now. We're heading towards 10 billion.
Right.
Each one of these human beings has every desire that every other human being has, and that is for sex, for children, for good life, for all of these things,
right.
Security, both financial and physical. They all have these desires, but yet not all of them have the... Some have more intellectual capacity, others have less.
Right.
How do you manage these things, and how do you say them? How do you get people to be responsible when they have... You said the average IQ in this country is around 100, but it takes 120 to go to college. Some people don't have 120. I mean, half the people are below average. That's just how it is.
Right.
How do you manage these conflicts, and how do we humanely, without being accused of being a eugenicist, how do we deal with these issues to where we have a sustainable race? I mean, a planet-wide sustainable human race.
Well, hopefully the United States of America and even Canada and Australia and Western Europe are the leaders of and examples of sustainable societies where they balance those who are, let's say there's dishwashers and there's janitors and there's, car on the line car workers, or there are hotel maids and so forth, the lower echelon jobs that are out there. And I've worked them all. I've been a truck driver. I've been a teacher. I've been a dance teacher. I've been a heavy equipment operator.
Was a dishwasher.
I've actually been a dishwasher. So the thing is, you can meld all of those needs into a society with all of the different intellectual talents and the abilities of the people within the society. And we had a very balanced society back in 1965. Everybody had a job. I mean, we only started to lose the jobs and the standard of living in this country as we continued to overpopulate. Certainly it started surging in the 1990s. We hit 300 million by 2008 there in October. And it's just gotten worse since then. The fact is that we don't have jobs for 15 million Americans right now. And so as long as we continue to population growth, we can't solve it.
We have 35 million illegal aliens in this country that don't belong here.
Right.
Yeah, and we have 15 million unemployed Americans. And actually, I heard this morning, if you read Alan Rowland's article in Veterans Today, he says that the unemployment rate is closer to 24%.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, there are 15 million that we know of that are unemployed. We also have 7 million that are underemployed. In other words, working at half capacity or of 20 hours a week, so living very minimally. And so that's 22 million people. So, yeah, there's a huge unemployment situation. And again, the 46 million on food stamps shows you how, what a problem this is. Like I say, we may not be able to solve all of our problems and employ all of these people and all that goes with it, but we can't ever solve them if we keep immigrating and growing by 3 million people every year.
Well, Frosty, you're exactly tight on that. And one thing I'll point out to our listeners is that as long as we have illegal aliens in the country willing to work for less, it's going to suppress wages in this country. So the people who are American citizens, it affects their wage rates as well. Because I mentioned that I was a dishwasher. When I was a dishwasher, I was probably 14, 15 years old, and I was probably worth about $1 an hour, maybe. But today, you're not going to hire a 14-year-old white kid like me. You're going to hire some 30-year-old illegal immigrant because he'll do a better job than a 14-year-old white kid just because of the maturity factor, and that's the best job he's ever going to have.
Well, that's unfortunately true, but again, that illegal alien, and whether it's 20 million or 30 million in this country, they're undermining the entire financial process. They're transferring $80 billion a year out of the country, which is bleeding the country by 1,000 cuts. They're using, according to the Edwin Rubenstein report, $346 billion in U.S. taxpayer money across 15 federal agencies just to take care of their families, to take care of the incarceration, take care of the free lunch and breakfast, and so forth and so on. So that illegal alien is being subsidized by the rest of us. Well, the people like Marriott Hotels or McDonald's are the ones that are making all the money.
It's burden shifting. They don't have to pick up the bundled cost of their employees.
That's right.
They shift that burden from their payroll, and their burden cost is having employees shift that burden onto the U.S. taxpayer.
Well, there's no question that 8 million illegal aliens we know of, according to CIS and the numbers USA.org, 8 million illegal aliens have full-time jobs, and they're not making just $10 an hour. They're making $15 and $20 an hour on jobs that should be paying $20 and $25 and $30 an hour. But again, these employers are maximizing their profits, and for the few that get to have all that financial benefit, the rest of us are paying for it, and we're subsidizing it. If we simply had a Congress and a president who were ethical and logical, they would start enforcing the immigration employment laws and simply going after these people.
We have a Congress and an administration here that's subservient to corporate America, not to the American people. And we have another caller on a holding for us. And let's welcome Rodney. Rodney from Illinois. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, Mike. And Frosty, I've always enjoyed your contribution. Enjoyed your friendly debates with Ernie Hancock when Ernie was on this program.
Yes, thank you. It's been great with Ernie. He's quite a foil for me, but he's outstanding.
Yeah, well, anyhow, that aside, I just wanted to offer a couple of observations from, perhaps a philosophical point of view. Mm-hmm. And I've got two illustrations, and one is the history of mathematics and how it plateaued until the concept of infinity was embraced. Another is the history of firearms. At many times in the development of the simple firearm, it was declared that the firearm has achieved its maximum, exquisite point of perfection and could not ever be improved upon. Now, of course, every time they came to that conclusion, duck hunter preacher would come along and would improve on it. But the illustration is the same.
Right.
There was the impediment of not embracing infinity, that is, future progress. And I think the carrying capacity of this earth, the immense potential of the resources, I think is part of the equation that is missing in your discussion, Frosty. And I think in my final illustration, us poor humans are little more than a herd of swine in a wallow. And we're discussing our wallow will not sustain us. And my point is we have to stop being swine, and we can achieve greater things. And of course, I understand this is all philosophical, but I hope you get my drift and carry on. And thanks, guys.
Well, Rodney, thank you. And I think the term that Rodney's looking for here was you could be accused of being a Malthusian and who believed that there is a finite carrying capacity to the earth versus an anti-Malthusian who who believes that mankind will innovate and come up with new devices that will allow the carrying capacity to increase exponentially into infinity, as he said.
Well, he does bring some very good points, and we've had all of these opportunities. Let me just even appreciate, you all know Norman Borlaug, and he was the man who got the Nobel Peace Prize for bringing the Green Revolution. But here's what he said, and I'm quoting, "The Green Revolution has won a temporary success in man's war against hunger and deprivation. It has given man a breathing space. If fully implemented, the revolution can provide sufficient food for sustenance during the next 3 decades. But the frightening power of human reproduction must also be curbed. Otherwise, the success of the Green Revolution will be ephemeral only," unquote.
Okay, we'll be right back after this break for the final 5 minutes.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you read the news? Heart disease still the most likely reason you'll die, but people are still not afraid enough. Over 70 million Americans live every day with some form of heart disease, and we accept it as okay. Well, I don't think it's okay, and I'm here to tell you that Extendovite doesn't think it's okay either. Just a few simple herbs can change the way we think about heart disease. Don't just accept it, do something about it. Live a longer, healthier life. Take Extendovite every day. Extend your life with Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome back. This is Mike Harris on Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2012. We're in our last 5 minutes with Frosty Wooldridge. So, Frosty, you know, the way I see it is we've really got two problems. You know, it's in this country, the immigration problem, adding so many new people to the population. But more importantly than that is the people we're adding are illiterate and culturally a bad match for what this country is. And they're the ones who are entering the country. We're not getting the best and brightest of Europe here.
Well, Well, that's true. And, the last caller, I want to respect everything that he said, and I also want to add this to that philosophical approach, because I do appreciate that. I hope everyone listening understands or appreciates that I'm coming from a logical, rational thinking process and not particularly emotional. I met Dave Foreman at the Immigration and Overpopulation Conferences in Washington, D.C. last October, which I go to, and I mean, I've met Dr. Paul Ehrlich. I've met all these top people, Jack Alpert, Dr. Albert Bartlett, of course, is brilliant beyond belief. But Dave Foreman wrote Man Swarm and the Killing of Wildlife. Ladies and gentlemen, we're right now in the process of displacing and killing off hundreds of thousands of species. In fact, the human race is encroaching on habitats so fast right now that we're killing off around 80 to 100 species. That's the whole species every day now. Thousands every year. E.O. Wilson, the great Harvard brilliant biologist.
We have one more caller who's trying to word in here edgewise. We've got 2 minutes to take him. I hate to interrupt you, but let's take Mike from Chicago. And Mike, can you please be brief, because we're bumping up against our end of the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you hear me? Or
yes, we hear you.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got it all right on the head. The fact of the matter is that people, you know, if I was in another country, I would send I wouldn't even be married to her. I would send the woman over here to get pregnant and have the kid because it's all going to get paid for, okay? Everything's free as far as this country is concerned. And then the thing is, then now that kid doesn't have a father, has emotional problems because of that. And I just see this, so it's either you're going to have that type of situation, or you're just not even going to have fathers, period. They may be running around. They may not have a nuclear family. I don't know how long this is going to continue. China has got a one-child policy. I don't have any kids. But I'll tell you what, this whole thing, I don't know who's paying for what and how long, but austerity is going to come. Like it's coming in Europe, and it's not going to be pretty.
Mike,
anyway,
let's give our guests a chance to respond, okay? Go ahead, Frosty.
Well, yeah, and that particular realm, you're exactly right. The anchor baby thing of 400,000 per year is busting this country financially, but it's also creating a whole new poverty class. But I want to go back to this Man Swarm, The Killing of Wildlife by Dave Foreman. If we continue massive population loading in this country, we're already losing 250 species every year now, about 2,500 every decade. We have to ask ourselves, do we as a species want to break down, and what is the moral and ethical question here? Do we have the cognitive right to continue our explosion of numbers and then to the detriment to all these other species that are sharing this planet with us? I don't want to live on a planet that doesn't have a grizzly bear, doesn't have the lion, doesn't have the tiger, doesn't have the hummingbird. At some point, we're breaking down the web of life so much by our numbers that we're not going to be able to have a balanced planet itself. And so that's why I am moving, and I do advocate for birth control and family planning that brings about a stability so that we can all live in harmony with nature, Mike. And that, to me, is the most important thing for future generations.
I think there has to be a balance to life. But I also agree that we've not exhausted our technology options yet, that we still have a lot of new technology. And, boy, there's our music coming up, and that brings us to the end of the show. Frosty, I want to say thank you, and we'll have you back again. So for the folks, for our listeners out there, we'll have Jim Fetzer on tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. Thank you all very much.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Can your savings survive a global banking wipeout?